will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another very special podcast of Tough Things First. I am so delighted. My name is Ray Zinn. I'm the author of Tough Things First and also the head of these podcasts, Tough Things First. And with me today, I have a very special guest. His name is Robert Barker. Robert worked for me for many, many years. He was my CFO and is also my vice president of HR and of legal. And we had a great time working together for many, many years at Micrel Semiconductor. And I'm glad to have Robert with me on the program today. So welcome, Robert.
Thank you very much, Ray. I'm happy to be here.
We had a meeting every Friday at 1 o'clock, every single Friday, that we invited all the main players in our staff, you know, operations, HR, accounting, design. We had all these different groups that met, about 20 or 30 of us there. And they met in a conference room every week, and we reported on what we were doing. And so one of us was assigned each week to give a little pep talk, a little talk about what we thought was important to help the company. And I remember you gave this talk. I'll never forget it. The talk was about this book called Who Moved the Cheese? Do you remember that?
I do very well, Ray.
Briefly tell our audience why you chose that topic.
The book was about a couple of different mice, and they were going through a maze, and they were looking for food, and they had food there. And then one day the food was moved. It was somewhere else. And one of the mice went to the same place, the same location every day, day after day. And I never found any food and was getting weaker and weaker. And the other mouse, he kept exploring. He kept looking for it and food in different places. And then he would find it and he would find the food. And so he got healthier and, you know, was a nice, healthy rat. And the other one he always wanted to go to the same place. He never wanted to look elsewhere. He knew where it was, and he always expected that he would find it there every day. And I just thought it was a great little book that this is the kind of book that you could take home and talk to your children about, that illustrated just a really significant point, is that we could call it the goalpost in business and in life keep getting changed. The things that we have to do, the facts and circumstances, they always change. And especially in the semiconductor business, because our revenue in the semiconductor business, we've both been in it for a very long time, it's always either going up or down. It rarely goes sideways. I like that. I found that really exciting. And because of that, it's always changing. And this book was about change. And I thought it was a good book for everybody there. It was something that would really catch them. It was catchy little title, and something they would even share with their families too. So that's how I picked it.
Well, the bottom line of your message that you gave, I remember this talk you gave very clearly. It's about pivoting. And that's a term we use in industry today, is the ability to pivot. And so I have a program called Zen Starter that I have at different universities. And one thing I look for is these students have these great ideas, but I ask them, okay, so what happens if that market goes away, or if you have to change the way you approach the market? And I call that pivoting. In basketball, you know, that's what you do. You're constantly pivoting in basketball. And John Wooden was a well-known coach of yours, not yours, but at the school back school, when you went to UCLA. And so, you know, we learn to pivot. If we're, you know, fast on our feet, we learn to pivot quickly. And so, you know, that's our story about who moved the cheese. So the one mouse, of course, he was going back to the same rat hole every time looking for that cheese, because that's where it was always. And then when it got moved, he just starved to death. And so, you know, this is so true in our industry and business. So, you know, one of the stories that I remember as a kid was back in the 50s, the shrimp boats left Galveston and went to Baton Rouge or, you know, Louisiana, somewhere in there. Anyway, the shrimp boats moved, and they noticed that all these seagulls were dying. They're dying by the thousands. And so when they opened up their gullets and looked, they found no food inside. So what was happening was that the seagulls were so used to feeding off the shrimp boats that they forgot how to fend for themselves. They forgot how to survive on their own. And so that story has always stuck with me. And so when you told this story about who moved the cheese, I immediately thought of that story of the seagulls. So another example is we had recently this issue with Elizabeth Holmes on this company called Theranos, you know, where she had this little machine that was supposed to, you know, test your blood, and with one drop of blood, it would give you all the parameters and everything. And what happens is that, as you know, her idea might have been okay, but the implementation was terrible. And so the machine never worked, and they never got it working. And so, but she wouldn't pivot. She would just stay on the same frequency as you would, and wouldn't pivot. And of course, now she's in trouble because she's found guilty and now is going to be sentenced in September for, you know, taking $700 million from some very well-known investors on a product that really was not very well thought through. And she approached it in such a way that she wouldn't give up on the strategy that she was using. And of course, you know, she didn't pivot. And she ended up not only taking herself down the drain, but a lot of investors with her. So again, you know, you need to be willing to pivot, to move, shuck and jive, as they say. Basketball players do this all the time. They call it pivoting. You know, do it in football.
Pivot foot. You have a pivot foot. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You have a pivot foot. And the same thing in football. You know, when the defense changes their structure of the line, the quarterback may have to change his play on the fly. And so again, whether it's in sports, whether it's in business or medical or whatever, you have to be willing to pivot and not stay on the same track, or you're going to starve to death as the seagulls and Galveston did, or as that mouse did as he looked for who moved the cheese.
At Mike Crowell, we came out with a lot of products, and that was one of the big strengths of our company. And it was a big strategy that we had a lot of products in the pipeline, and we built up a thing, and we had we identified the market, the marketing people would identify these markets, and we'd go out and get customers and all that. But a number of times that product would come out and maybe it didn't be used in that product and in that market, but it would be used in another market. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the really, really strong things about the analog marketplace, is that if you're creative, you get a product and it's supposed to go here. Well, I mean, hey, it can also go there.
Well, you know, do you know who DoorDash is, right? Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, that DoorDash is nothing more than Webvan. Remember Webvan?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Webvan had, you know, $400 or $500 million that they raised. This was back in during the .com era. And Orson Welles says, no wine before its time. So Webvan actually was just a little ahead of their time, because DoorDash does exactly what Webvan did.
Yep.
And only now the market's willing to accept it. So, you know, you may have a fantastic idea, but if the market's not ready, you know, it's not going to fly. You know, so you know, again, this is all part of pivoting. You have to know when your market is going to open up for you. And that's what we did at Micrel, is we pivoted. I know, Robert, because you weren't with me from the full start of the company.
Right.
But we pivoted at least 8 times. I mean, completely pivoted. And it was one of those, because we were doing testing services, then we're doing military products. And then we started out doing second source commercial products. And we just went, then we went from one thing to another thing, to another thing, to another thing. It was just, we're pivoting all the time. In fact,
pivoting, but staying profitable.
Exactly.
But running
exactly.
A business, staying profitable, but pivoting. Yeah.
Yep. You know, so in my mind, you know, your talk that you gave to the staff on Who Moved the Cheese was to say, you got to be light on your feet. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to modify your plan. And because that's all a plan is one to be modified.
True. You know, that's very true.
So, you know, there is no plan cast in concrete except concrete itself. So, you know, you just have to keep moving and keep looking for where the cheese is.
Well, I just have one last thing that I think about. One of the big pivots that we had to make at Micrel is we had, and this was early on, we hadn't been public long. We had a customer that was 20% of our business.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And it went away in
overnight.
One quarter. Yeah. I think it was almost overnight, just overnight.
Yeah,
20% of the business. Yeah. That was a pivot.
That was a pivot.
Quick pivot.
And that's the way life is. You know, I have a friend whose daughter just came down with stage 4 colon cancer, and now her family's going to have to pivot. You know, bad things happen. You know, yep. As long as you live here in mortality, you know, as they say, adversity is like manure. It stinks, but it helps us grow. You know, we have to be able to deal with adversity. We have to be able to deal with change. We can't just keep going back to the same horse trough for our food, you know? So, well, thanks, Robert. I really appreciate you joining me today. This has been great to reminisce and to think back upon how we ran Micrel for 37 years and how we made that company so profitable for so many people. And I'm so proud of that, what we did and what you were able to help me with as my CFO and my HR VP and business development. Also, you were head of business
yep.
development. So again, thanks. Thanks, Robert.
Okay.
Say hello to your family and appreciate you joining me.
Will do, so, Ray.
Thank you. So remember to come in on another program of Tough Things First. Read my book, Tough Things First. You can get it on Amazon or any other favorite retailer. And my new books, Zen of Zen and Zen of Zen 2, and soon to be out, Zen of Zen 3. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.